Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Over the past 2 months, we've heard for the voices of thousands of Tunisians, Egyptians, Libyans, Yemenis, Bahrainis. But there has been one voice or a few voices conspicuously absent in the headlines. Al-Qaeda has yet to make a single announcement about the popular demonstrations that have forced out autocratic leaders from Tunisia and Egypt, or on the protests that have besieged the governments of Libya, Bahrain, Yemen, and other Arab nations. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean a weakness on the part of Al-Qaeda or something else? Michael Scheuer is the former head of the CIA's Bin Laden division, most recently the author of the book Osama Bin Laden, and he joins us from San Francisco, where it's probably pretty early there, Michael.
Yes, good morning. It's about a little after four.
You know, we have spoken with a number of analysts who've talked about the pro-democracy protests in the Middle East and said that they are basically Bin Laden's nightmare. I want to quote you something from a commentary by Shibli Telhami, who said, "The power and pride that the peaceful masses exhibit in the streets of Cairo and other Egyptian cities are Bin Laden's worst nightmare. Peaceful masses, not the murder of innocents, overthrew a regime most thought was entrenched." What's your response to that idea?
I think it's pretty much Western thinking, isn't it? As if what went on in Cairo really had any long-term prospect of democracy. You know, the veneer of Westernized English-speaking Muslims in Egypt is strong in that demonstration, but among 80 million Egyptians, it's not very deep. It beggars common sense to think that it would help destroy Mubarak or the Tunisian government if al-Qaeda associated itself with the masses. If there were al-Qaeda banners or Muslim Brotherhood banners in the demonstration in Cairo or in Yemen or anywhere else, the United States would have, with a knee-jerk reaction, supported Mubarak and the rest of them. So I think the argument that it's al-Qaeda's nightmare when it's destroying two of al-Qaeda's best or worst enemies is really a silly argument.
You're referring to Mubarak and Gaddafi, who've had long-standing disputes with Osama bin Laden.
Right. And plus, I was also referring to Israel. All of this is weakening the Israelis.
How is it weakening the Israelis?
Their physical security depends on tyranny. It depends on the tyranny in Egypt, in Jordan, and in Syria to control those borders. Whatever government follows Mubarak is going to be less friendly toward the Israelis, certainly won't be eager to control that border as tightly as it has been, and I don't think it'll be willing to kill Egyptians who want to help the Palestinians, as Mubarak was willing to.
Well, There is the idea, though, that for a long time, extremist organizations like al-Qaeda have based their recruiting efforts on this idea of powerlessness, that the only way to free oneself is by the use of violence because there's no other way to make it through the system because of these autocratic leaders who've kept such a clampdown on opposition groups. So to that extent, pro-democracy revolutions in which the people oust the president of Tunisia, oust the president of Egypt, that would be completely the opposite of the recruiting techniques of al-Qaeda.
You use whatever opportunity you can. And again, to believe that Muslims are going to reach for an alien ideology like secular democracy over 1,400 years of their religion is really rather illogical. Who did Fox and CNN and the BBC interview in Egypt? They interviewed young, English-speaking, westernized Egyptians. If you think that's a sample of 80 million Egyptians, then perhaps you're right. I don't think it is.
Well, Michael Scheuer, again, former head of the CIA Bin Laden division and author of Osama Bin Laden. Why then have we not heard from al-Qaeda? In many of these countries, there is chaos. Extremist organizations, especially, you look at Iraq as a perfect example of how terrorist groups have taken advantage of division and chaos in order to recruit and carry out missions. Why haven't we not heard from al-Qaeda? Why have they not been operating in these countries?
How do you know they're not, ma'am?
I don't.
And this whole business has only been going on 30 days. I think one of the things we've lost the talent for in the West is the wisdom of silence or the power of silence at times. If things are going your way, if you see the most potent tyranny in the Middle East going down, why get in the way of it? Why not take an opportunity that surfaces afterwards? I still think it's counterintuitive to think it would be wise for Al-Qaeda to get on the side of the demonstrations when that would put us on the side of the tyrants.
I mean, to a certain extent, we've spoken with some Tunisian protesters. We've heard their voices on the BBC. Several of them have said things like, we're going to get American-style democracy. We deserve that.
You're very good. I mean, the media is very good at talking to westernized Muslims. How many Islamist leaders have you talked to? How many Al-Qaeda or Muslim Brotherhood people have been talking to you? And how many would be honest with you?
Well, we've talked to two of them on the program. I certainly can't verify their honesty, but we have spoken
with them. Yeah, I think that's the point, is we can't verify who's on top at the moment. Certainly in Egypt, the strongest organization is the Muslim Brotherhood, and the so-called secular Democrats have no organization. I think we can remember what Lenin did with a very small, well-organized group.
So you're warning that the in these Middle Eastern countries where they've toppled the government, that they could end up with a Lenin-type figure coming forward?
Somebody with an organization, certainly not a communist, but the Brotherhood, very many other Islamist groups. You know, for example, in Egypt, 40,000 people were released from prisons during those demonstrations. And I think Americans probably aren't well acquainted with the fact that there are a lot of regular criminals in those prisons, but the bulk of the people there are members of what we call terrorist groups or very, very fierce Islamic firebrands. So the reinforcements that are flowing toward the Brotherhood and other Islamist groups is very strong at the moment.
Well, let me ask you, Michael Scheuer, as a last question. You know, with all the fears of Al-Qaeda, which I'm sure many people in the administration still have, we've seen Iran taking advantage of these protests. Should that Iran be what people are afraid of even more than Osama bin Laden?
Iran is about as much to be afraid of as I am. Iran is contained. It's fully contained. There's no reason really to worry about Iran. We can smash it if we need to, but there's no need for a war unless they become involved in Bahrain, and that's a real problem.
So the concern here is the rise of terrorist groups once the chaos is over.
The rise of Islamists.
Okay, Michael Scheuer, former head of the CIA bin Laden division, author of the book Osama bin Laden. Gaddafi did claim this Tuesday, and I will quote, "This is a small number of terrorists trying to turn us into an emirate for bin Laden and Zawahiri so the U.S. can come take control." What do you think? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Pro-democracy or the rise of Islamism?